Thanks for the introduction. My name is Pen Liu. I'm from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So today I'm going to share our experience to build a low-cost, highly efficient video transcoder cluster for a live video stream service. This is a joint work with Junwang Yun and Lance Johnson. So as we know, video streaming service is a very popular internet service. This slide is some big players in the industry, like Hulu, Facebook Live, YouTube, Netflix, etc. Users like to watch video with their mobile devices. Based on Cisco Visual Networking Index Mobile 2016, mobile video will generate 3/4 of mobile data traffic by 2020. So in this talk, I will focus on the live video streaming. There's a lot other type of video streaming, like on-demand, as Netflix did. Netflix is doing, I'm not going to cover that. So there are many challenges to provide a reliable quality service to mobile video users. In particular, for live video streaming, problems like jitter, interruptions, and buffering often affect the user's experience. So we need to find some way to solve the problem. So our university has a deployment to provide free TV service for students on campus network. So that system is based on the UDP multicast. So UDP multicast is a scalable solution to provide a live video streaming service. But unfortunately, the IT department often has some difficulty to related to NAT firewalls, such kind of thing. And as we know, the wireless channel is not stable. Sometimes the bandwidth is not enough to support smooth video streaming. So to solve those problems, we developed a new system based on adaptive bitrate video streaming over HTTP. So by using HTTP, we can use the current infrastructure for HTTP, like cache, proxy, etc., to transmit video data over HTTP. So in this slide, I'm going to talk about the basic idea about ABI video streaming over HTTP. As we can see, the source video will be transcoded to multiple versions with a different bitrate. And then we have a media server to cut the source video and also the transcoded video to multiple chunks. The chunks will have the same duration, same content, but the different bitrate. And the media server also generates the index file, which includes the information about the video chunks. And the video player will download the index file first to get the information about the video chunks. And then it will try to download the video chunks one by one based on the network performance. So as we can see, the video transcoders plays a very important role in the system. So, but we cannot just run transcoder there. We need to control it or watch it, orchestrate them to make sure the video streaming service is smooth. So there are many challenges to develop a video transcoding system. So as we know, video transcoding is a computational complex process. So if we run it on the general purpose processor, it will consume very high power. And for the live video streaming, the high throughput computing, like the cloud computing, does not have much because of the very low latency requirement. And also the video source video is available lively. And also the video quality is critical for the quality of service because given a video bitrate, we would like to have the quantity as higher as possible. So to summarize my goal, so we need to develop a low-cost and highly efficient transcoder system to provide a reliable service to a live video streaming service. Here, this slide outlines my talk today. So first, I will give a very brief overview about video transcoding, and then I will discuss how did we select the video decoder and encoder to build the video transcoder. And after that, I will introduce the architecture of the video transcoding cluster, and I will explain the reason that we name the cluster as a video core cluster. And I will introduce some interesting points in the implementation and evaluate the system in terms of video quality, transcoding speed, and also the power efficiency. And after that, I will talk about something about deployment and summarize our work. So first, overview about video transcoding. So there are different implementations of a video transcoder for different purposes. We can use video transcoder to change the video format, or we can use the video transcoder to change the bitrate, or the way we are doing with our video transcoder. So this slide gives two examples of video transcoder implementation. The first approach is just a simple compilation of video decoder and encoder. So it's very simple and it's very flexible. We can easily replace the decoder or encoder. And the second one is a specialized transcoder implementation. So it tightly integrates the different tools for video decoding and encoding. So the second one could be more efficient because the decoding tools can share the information with the encoding tools directly. But the problem of this approach is that it's not so flexible. So for our project, we select the first one. So let me talk about how do we select the video decoder and encoder implementation to construct the video transcoder. So this slide, this table, is the available video decoder and encoder implementations we can choose from. So the first one, the software implementation running on the general purpose processor. The examples include X264, OpenH264 from Cisco, something like that. And they are very flexible, and they are very, it's very convenient for us to try new algorithms on them. So generally speaking, they can provide a very good video quality. But the problem is that they consume very high power because the inefficiency to run the video coding related algorithms on the general purpose processors. The second one is the GPU based. The examples include the GPUs from NVIDIA, AMD, Intel. They consume medium power, but the problem is they are very expensive and not so flexible because we the features of the video transcoder will depend on the implementation from the GPU vendors. So the third one is FPGA-based. They are widely used in broadcast industry. They are very flexible, consume medium power, but the problem is that they are very expensive. So the last one is a hardware implementation. In particular, I mean hardware video decoder and encoder module in SOCs. So they are also not so flexible, and their generated video quality is not the best, but they consume very low power. So in our project, we select the last one. So this slide shows the detailed information about the video decoder and encoder module in our system. We selected the Raspberry Pi, a popular low-cost single-board computer. So the SoC of Raspberry Pi, BCM2835, embeds a very high-performance GPU. So the ARM core of the processor is very weak. So we only use it to do some coordination or data movement tasks. So the majority of the power of the transcoder is from the video core GPU, which has a very high performance hardware implementation of the decoder and the encoder. So that's why we call the cluster as video core cluster instead of Raspberry Pi cluster or something else. So let's talk about the architecture of the cluster implementation. So as this figure shows, we have a cluster manager, and we have a group of transcoders connecting to the cluster manager with MQTT protocol. So MQTT protocol is a messaging protocol widely used for IoT applications. And as we can see in the figure, the cluster manager and the transcoders are not directly connected. They are collected through the MQTT broker. So by using IoT, by using the MQTT protocol for which is used for IoT application, we can simplify our implementation. So MQTT provides the publish subscribe message pattern. It can be used to implement the status monitoring feature on the cluster manager. We also have a media server in the right side. So the data path protocol is RTMP, real-time messaging protocol. So we use RTMP because we would like to let the transcoders pull the video from a media server and transcode it and push back the result with very short latency. So the session management feature of the RTMP can also be used to manage the transcoding tasks running in the transcoders. So the class manager provides a web-based dashboard that administrator can use to monitor the system and also manage the system. And the media server provides a HTTP interface that users' mobile devices can access the video content through HTTP protocol. Let's talk about some detailed information about the implementation. So the first, media server. So media server has the following responsibilities. It needs to receive RTMP pushes from the transcoders. And it cuts the video streams to chunks and also generates an index file on the fly. And after that, the media server will provide a HTTP interface that the mobile devices can access the video content. So currently, the media server supports both Apple, HLS, and MPEG Dash. So here, this slide gives some the internal data structure of the cluster manager implementation. So the cluster manager maintains some lists for transcoding tasks and also some online transcoders. So the cluster manager monitors the status of the transcoding tasks and also the online transcoders to decide which transcoder should run which transcoding task. This slide gives the basic information about a software implementation and the transcoder on Raspberry Pi. So it has two types of processes. The first one is the cluster agent. It provides the MQTT interface to connect to the transcoder, the cluster manager. And another type of a process is a transcoding worker. It will do the transcoding tasks. And you will pull the video from media server, transcode it, and push back the result to the media server. So the class agent will run on the ARM core, but the transcoding worker will run both on ARM core and the GPU core. So let's have a look at the internal architecture of the transcoding worker implementation. So transcoding worker is built on top of the GStreamer framework. It will use the GST OMX plugins to access the video decoder and encode hardware inside the GPU through OpenMax IL interface. Other plugins used to construct the transcoding pipeline will run on ARM core because they are not so complex. So let's have a look at the transcoding tasks. How can we synchronize them? Because we can see that every source video will be transcoded by multiple transcoding tasks. So we need to synchronize them. Unfortunately, the problem is that different transcoding tasks, even for same video content, same source video, can run in different boards. So it's very hard for us to strictly synchronize them. Fortunately, we only need to guarantee the video chunks are synchronized from the perspective of the video players. So we apply the following mechanisms. First, we use the instantaneous decoding refresh frame to cut the boundaries, to cut the video streams. And we also carefully control the pace difference between different transcoding tasks to make sure the difference is within the IDI interval. And we also reset the source video after all the transcoding tasks for one channel are ready. So with those mechanisms, we can guarantee the video chunks generated by the media server are synchronized. I mean, the different versions are synchronized from the view of the video players. And the transcoder often encounters failures. The root cause of the failure could be the source video, or also could be the implementation bugs in the decoder and encoder. So we need to handle that kind of failure properly to make sure the video streaming service is stable. So this slide shows an example of the failure and shows the process we use to handle the failure. So as we can see at first, four transcoding tasks work fine, and the media server is generating the chunks and continue generating chunks. And then the second one, the video transcoding task to generate the 800 kbps video stream fails. And after that, the class manager will be notified immediately. And then it can migrate the failed task to another transcoder. And at the same time, it will send a message to the transcoding tasks to reset the RTMP collection in order to make sure the timestamps of the different streams are synchronized. And as I mentioned in the previous slide, we also need to reset the source video. And after that, all the transcoding tasks resume to work fine. So let's evaluate the system. So we compile the video transcoder implementation on the Raspberry Pi with the software implementation on Intel i5 processor. So for a file comparison, we enable all the CPU capabilities of the i5 processor, like MMX, SSE2, etc. So this slide shows our evaluation result with HD video captured from our deployment. We evaluate the system. We compile the two different implementations, the software implementation and our implementation, with both PSNR, peak signal to noise ratio, and a structural similarity index, SSIM. Both of the metrics are widely used in the video coding research. So the bigger value means better video quality. So the x-axis gives the bit rates we set to the video transcoder. And the y-axis gives the value of the quality. The higher value means better video quality. And before we talk about the value in these two plots, let me talk about a little bit about the presets of X26. Because X26 has many parameters for us to tune, it's very hard for us to get optimum compilations. So the X264 provides the presets for we can choose from to control the transcoder. So different presets have different video quality and encoding speed. So based on the two plots, as we can see, the video transcoder with Raspberry Pi, the first one, Video Core 4, has a better performance than super fast preset of X264 and has a similar performance the very fast, or even better than super very fast in some scenarios. And the gap with the medium preset is also very small. The medium preset is widely used in practice. But as we can see from the figure, the improvement is very, very small. And as I mentioned, so the video quality increase, the encoding speed will decrease exponentially. So as we can see, the transcoder performance and video quality is acceptable for our deployment. And we also evaluate the transcoding speed and the power efficiency. The left plot shows the transcoding speed in our with the video capture in our deployment. So of course, the video transcoder on Raspberry Pi, the transcoding speed is a little bit is slower than the software implementation, but we need to consider the power consumption. So if we normalize the power consumption to do the similar work, our transcoder implementation consumes 1/7 of the power consumption of the software transcoder implementation. So let's talk about our deployment. So we have a small scale deployment in the hybrid and incremental way. Currently, the transcoder on Raspberry Pi are running along with the software transcoder implementation on the servers. So currently, the 27 channels are being transcoded. In 1 month, April 2016, there were more than 4,000 sessions and totally 480 hours, watching hours. So to summary my talk, we designed and implemented a low-cost, highly efficient transcoder cluster for a live video streaming service. Thanks for your attention. Welcome, any questions?
We have time for one question. I have a question. Unless somebody, go ahead. Yeah.
Actually, I think your transcoder running on a Raspberry Pi is running 25 hours per 7 days, always running. So, actually, can you comment on the hardware failure? How frequently hardware fails?
Our monitoring system does not monitor such kind of failure. We only monitor the user's experience, the user's behavior, like how many users are watching the video, mm-hmm. Which channel they are watching, such kind of information. But that's a good question. Maybe we need to consider about that.
Because
we notice both the failure on the software implementation and also the transcode on the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Let's thank Arthur again.